everybody. I'm Richard Krause, in for Jim Richards. That was Lady Madonna. I'm telling you, if this was Name That Tune, I'd be doing very, very well right now. We have something to talk about now that is interesting in light of a lot of Christmas shopping that's probably happening in your house right now. A lot of people are shopping online during the pandemic. Certainly, the numbers for online shopping just blew through the roof, but so did the numbers for people returning things online. I guess they are connected somehow, and now a number of outlets are considering charging restocking fees to return items by mail. They're trying to recoup the losses that are generated by returns. So you have to read the fine print before hitting the checkout button, particularly, you know, if you're buying a lot of stuff that you think, maybe I'm just going to check it out. I'll check it out and I can always return it. Amazon has made it so easy to return things that I think a lot of people are just in the habit of it now. Me, I'm kind of too lazy to do it, but a lot of other people aren't. To give us some info on this, we have Bruce Winder, retail analyst and author. Bruce, how are you?
Hey, Richard. Thanks for having me on the show.
Oh, thanks. And welcome to News Talk tonight. So this is an issue. During the pandemic, I think that online sales skyrocketed. So did returns. What is the cost to the retailer if you are just, you know, buying and returning and maybe, you know, sneakily wearing something once to a party or something and sending it back? There's a big cost to the retailer, right?
There really is. I mean, the way that supply chains have been built for the last, call it 100 years, mm-hmm. is that, you know, retailers send stuff to a big warehouse and then they send it to stores, consumers come in, and then consumers return it themselves, right? Which is a fairly cost-effective way. What's happened now with e-commerce, though, it's totally upside down, right? So, you know, you pay or the retailer pays to get the product to your door. Then in some cases, what's been happening is, you know, people, like you said, have been, you know, buying more than they need and returning it, sending it back via courier or mail. Retailers have to receive that. They have to handle it. They have to inspect it. They may have to put it back on the shelf or back in a box. They may have to throw it out or sell it through resale. So it's actually one of the dirtiest little secrets mm-hmm. in retail, especially on the e-commerce side, is that the costs are just massive.
And, you know, I hate the sound of a restocking fee. That just makes the hairs on the back of my neck stand up. But I get it. You know, I get it that businesses will have to start charging this. Somebody like the Bay is offering free in-store returns, but they charge $10 to return items by mail. Are we going to see more and more of that sort of thing?
You actually are, Richard. You're going to see a lot of that because retailers are at the point now and e-tailers where a lot of them don't even make money on their e-commerce mm-hmm. or they don't make much money. So, you know, they have to say, hey, you know what, we've got to stop the bleeding here somewhere. So they're going to put these deterrents in there. And what it'll do is allow them to recoup some of the funds that they lose, but also sort of change behavior on the consumer side.
Is there a possibility of this blowing up in a way that would be detrimental to the companies that are charging for returns, in the sense that, you know, if I know that I'm going to order a new pair of jeans from the Bay, but if they don't fit me or I don't like the cut or whatever, and I send them back, they're going to charge me $10, I might not shop at the Bay. Wherever it is. So this could blow up, but I guess maybe that's the risk you take if you're not making that much money off e-commerce anyway.
You got it. I mean, that's what's going to happen is, you know what, and it depends on who blinks first, sort of which retailers start first, but eventually you're going to see this widespread. But you're right. It's going to drive people either away from that retailer if their competition isn't doing it, or it's going to drive them back into the store, which isn't necessarily a bad thing for mm-hmm. retailers because they make more money through that channel.
And I guess probably the YouTube videos of something called Try On Hauls. T-R-Y on hauls. So you get a bunch of stuff, you try it on, you wear it around a little bit and send it right back. That is probably encouraging this kind of bad behavior.
It really is. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of people, because when e-commerce started, call it 20 years ago, people were afraid to buy on it, right? First, it was the credit card issue. And then it was, well, what if I don't like it? What am I going to do with it? So e-tailers and retailers came out with massively liberal return policies, spoiled the consumer, but now it's backfired on them. They have to go back uphill and reverse some of that.
And so in this article that I'd read about this, there's some talk about slowing down purchases so that the shopper really is making sure that it's the right item and they do want it. So, you know, you always hear, oh, impulse shopping. It's, you know, that's how you make money, impulse shopping. People buy the little extra stuff. But it feels to me now as though certainly on a lot of e-commerce that you want to kind of slow that process down a little bit so that people aren't buying things that inevitably they're going to get and go, what was I thinking, and return it right away.
Yeah, I mean, it's sort of, you know, if you look at the old, and this has been around for like 100 years, but, you know, the consumer behavior process for buying pretty much anything, there's a couple stages. One is, you know, research, and the other state is evaluation. And you know what? Retailers just want to slow that part down, and they might use apps, they might use augmented reality. You know, there's a whole bunch of little tricks they can use just to try to make sure that consumers are really focused and have all the information to, so that they make the right decision, because it's going to end up costing consumers more in the long run on retail prices as well.
Yeah, ultimately, that has always been something that I thought, you know, I know people who return things just like it's a religion. It's part of something that just makes them feel alive to take something back and be able to, you know, take something that they've in some cases have had for longer than the 30 days, you know, when all that is supposed to run out, and take it back and get they get a charge out of it almost. But it does drive up prices, and it just makes it worse kind of for everybody.
It really does. And I mean, there's other instances too, where if, you know, believe it or not, if you wait too long to return something, if it's a fashion item, you know, it's out of fashion now. They can't sell it. The retailer can't put it on the shelf. So they've got to chuck it or do something horrible with it. So yeah, there's a lot of problems with people who return things. I mean, people are innocent. They don't mean to cause harm, but it does cause a lot of harm to the environment too, but also to the retailer and ultimately indirectly to the consumer.
Do we have facts and figures about this holiday season, you know, December, January, are there more returns after Christmas than there would be at any other time? Or is it just fairly steady all year long?
No, you got it. There's massive amounts of returns in January because of all the holiday gifts people get, right? They just look at it and they want to send it back. So yeah, it's always a massive surge of returns. And retailers sometimes will sort of try to stagger those returns and say, you know, don't come back in until this day with returns or don't come in on Boxing Day. But yeah, it's massive throughout January.
And what do you think the future then of online shopping is? Are we going to start to see real change there? Because, you know, it hasn't really changed that much to my eye anyway over the last number of years. Do you think that we will see a big sea change in the way that online shopping is presented by the companies?
I really do think so, Richard, because you know what? You know, for the last 20 years before the pandemic, e-commerce was there, but it wasn't that big. Mm-hmm. Now it's big enough that it makes a big difference. So companies are having to ratchet down now. And, you know, whether it's free shipping versus you pay for shipping, or, you know, pick it up at a local, we'll give you incentive if you pick it up at a store. There's just not a lot of money in e-commerce unless you really control it. So I think you're going to see a lot more rules as it relates to returns pretty much from everyone. And you're going to see sort of unique ways of retailers saying, hey, come and pick it up in store instead. Mm-hmm. And there's going to be more apps and technology involved to try to get consumers to really make the right decision out of the gate.
And always read the fine print then, because they're not going to say, you know, if you return this, it's going to cost you $10 in big letters anywhere. So always read the fine print.
Yeah, that's key. I mean, that's, you know, buyer beware, right? Because companies aren't really announcing this for obvious reasons. They're not going to stand up and trumpet that they've changed the return policy in their favor. So consumers have to make sure they read all the fine print. Make sure you know what you're doing before you buy that item.
I've been speaking with Bruce Winder, retail analyst and author. Bruce, thanks so much for this.
Hey, thanks, Richard. Take care.
Nice to chat with you. When we come back, we're going to sort of continue along this same kind of theme in terms of shopping, and we're going to talk about pre-loved. When I was a kid, we used to call it used clothes. Now it's pre-loved, vintage, whatever you want to call it. They're saying here, pre-loved doesn't mean second best. Young Canadians thrift holiday gifts. I love it. I think it's a great idea. What do you think? Let me know. 1-855-633-1010. If you have some thoughts about this, have you thrifted gifts before? Let me know. 1-855-633-1010. I'm Richard Krause, sitting in for Jim Richards. Jim will be back in January, but until then, it's going to be a lot of this. It's going to be a lot of this voice. I hope you're enjoying it. Talk to you soon.